So the maimer we're going to learn this morning was recited by the Rebbe on Parsha Shmini, just like this week. And it was the Mevarchim, Shabbos Mevarchim, of the new month of Iyar. The year was Tav Shem Mem Beis, which would correspond to 1982. And the maimer opens with the opening word to the Parsha, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini. It was on the eighth day, etc. And this is where the Mishkan goes live, where the Shekhinah is going to be part of the life of the nation again, and God's presence will be amongst his people. So with regard to the notion of Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, it was on the eighth day. It's brought in the Drushim, which expound this in Chassidus. And the Rebbe points specifically to Ur HaTorah, which is the collection of Maimorim from the Tzemach Tzedek on the various Parshias, as well as a Maimor from the Rebbe Rashab that was delivered in the year 1918, Tavshir Shayin Ches. So there's the Pirush, the commentary of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar, of course, lives prior to the teachings of Chassidus. He's the Mamalamokim, the one who takes the place of the Maharal of Prague, which is really interesting because the Maharal had a number of sons. And nonetheless, this adopted son that he saved from a monastery was like a lost Jewish child, and that he raised him, he ended up becoming the one who replaced the Maharal of Prague as the spiritual leader of that Jewish community. And the Kli Yakar, much like the bent of his teacher, of the Maharal, has a very mystical and deep philosophical explanations of the Torah. And that was distilled into a commentary in the Chumash called Kli Yakar, which presumably was the collection of all the sermons and all the classes and the things that he taught during the course of his tenure. Eventually he redacted them into one seamless commentary on the Chumash. So in the Kli Yakar it's brought that Shmini Zeh, who Shmini Limiluyim, what's Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, was on the eighth day. What, eighth day of what? So it's the idea is that the eighth day of the inauguration, the Mezeh Mashma, from this is intimated, L'chayra, the Yom Zeh, whom b'yimei hamiluyim, that this eighth day is one of the days of the inauguration, because it's the eighth day of inauguration. So there's a little problem with that. What's the problem with the notion of the eighth day of the inauguration? There's just no such thing. Otherwise, no problem. The problem is it just isn't. Zeh einoi. Sha'arei k'siv shivas yomim yimale yedchem. Yimei hamiluyim is a term which is taken from the notion, from the verb, yimale es yedchem. You should fill your hands, which Rashi explains is the idea of how we describe the concept of an inauguration. So it says clearly that 7 days will be the inauguration. 7 days, yimale yedchem. And yet here, it opens up a yibayim hashmini. And the Kli Yakar says, it's bayim hashmini. What eighth day? Eighth day of the miluyim. So this seems to be a little bit strange, or almost like a contradiction. So he explains, the achidish bayim hashmini hu, the novelty of bayim hashmini is that oz haya ikir gilei hashchina. This is when the essence of the Shechina was revealed. K'mishakosov, like it says, the symptom of the essence of the Shechina being revealed happened when vateitzei eish melufnei Hashem, when a fire went forth from before God. And that fire is a representation of the presence of Hashem. Truth be told, fire is coming forth and not the first time. It's not the first time a fire represents the presence of God. In fact, the first time a fire represents, or energy, raw energy represents the presence of God, is with Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bin Absodim, where suddenly the parts of the animal are divided, and Avraham Avinu walks through this, and then there's a fire, or energy. So this is like, you know, energy unplugged. But at any rate, here it's more so, because the point was the bringing an offering, the bringing a korban before Hashem. And in bringing a korban, ultimately the korban gets consumed in fire. So here, the korban which would be consumed in fire was actually consumed in what could only be termed a miraculous heavenly fire. So therefore it becomes a representation of God actually consuming or accepting this offering, which is also similar to Kayin Vehevel, because Kayin Vehevel, Abel's sacrifice or offering was accepted, and Kayin's wasn't. But at any rate, this becomes the representation. This is symptomatic of a much bigger event. It's not about the little fire that came down. Wow, so the fire came. But the fire came as symbolic that Hashem's presence came. Rashi, if you will, Rashi's verbiage on the subject is Shetishre Shechina b'maisi adechem, that when Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Jewish people, he invokes the success of this day, and he says, my blessing to you is you replicate this success in the future of your national existence. So what does he say? In the future, fire should come from heaven? Well, that was really good for Eliyahu HaNavi. Thank God a fire came there. And it was also good in the Beis HaMikdash. The fire came from heaven. But that's not the point. The point is, Moshe Rabbeinu his blessing wasn't She Teitze Eish Melefnei Hashem, that fire should come forth before God, but rather, She Tishre Shechina B'Maisi Yadechem. So it's not about the fire per se, but what it represents and what it's a manifestation of. These are actually the words of the Kli Yakar. This does not seem to make any sense. Ma yoimi or mayim. What's the difference in yesterday or today? It's like vayhi bayom hashmini, and now that it was the eighth day, amazing things are going to be happening. The fire comes, the Shechina comes, God's presence is actualized. Ma yoimi or mayim. Like, why even open up that way? And then it came to pass on the eighth day, as if the eighth day has something to do with the success in actualizing the Shechina, the presence of God amongst us. Lama b'yem zedafke. I mean, after all, they went through the motions for 7 days. What's wrong with the seventh day? Lo b'yom shalafan, if not any of the days before. Sheheim hayu yimei miluyim. They were actually the days of inauguration. So it makes sense that on the inauguration, that something amazing should happen. They're inaugurating the Beis HaMikdash. The Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, is doing what it can, and God does what he's supposed to. That would make sense in the inauguration. So the Kli Yakar explains the reason. No, there's the Yom HaShmini. The eighth day is something special. Why? The Shmini, says the Kli Yakar, is Mispar HaMekudesh. Eight is a sacred number. It's a holy number. L'fi shekol inyanim shebe'olam hem mispar sheva dafka. All things in creation, they somehow compute always as seven. They always end up being seven. As is explained in a famous responsa of the great Sephardic sage Rabbeinu Shlomo ben Avram ben Aderet, yet centuries prior to the Kli Yakar, sheyesh moyadim shel shiva yomim, there are holidays which are 7 days, 7 days long. Why 7 days? Because shiva him yemei ha-hekef, because 7 days, that represents the full orbit of what we call of a complete reality. Every reality is comprised of 7 days. A week is the full gamut of time. What happens is, for example, is that when we want to celebrate marriage or celebrate people who are getting married and coming together, what do? We celebrate for a week. This is called Sheva Brachos. And when people want to mourn the loss of a loved one, what do? They mourn in 7 days, because 7 days is the Yemei HaHekef. If a major event in life happens and it's only experienced in 1 day, it will not be fully and satisfyingly experienced. The way for something to be fully experienced is only when we have the concept of 7 days, the week. And that's, of course, how Hashem created the world, and that's why we explain this notion that Almighty God brings creation into existence, and first day is something special, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, the seventh day is Shabbos. This is the capstone of creation. Everything is complete. And as is brought down in multiple sources, and that idea can be repeated in theory ad infinitum. Week followed by week, followed by week. And every Yom Rishon is synonymous with the first Yom Rishon. Every Yom Sheni is synonymous with the second, first Yom Sheni. And the experiences of each day of the week are ultimately replicated, one after the other, cycle after cycle. It doesn't go past seven. It starts over. You finish Shabbos, Yom Rishon. Mispar Shemoine, but the number 8, to Hashemir as a Hekef, Ulamayla Mimeno. So the Hekef represents what we're going to call the full circumference. And the full circumference is comprised of 7. So a simple example for this is that it's a basic mathematical equation, and you can do it by taking 7 coins, which have the same diameter. That if you line up 7 coins with the same diameter, one coin, one diameter, can contain within it exactly 6 diameters around it. So one nickel can have exactly 6 nickels around it. One quarter can have exactly 6 quarters around it. So that, I forgot there's a mathematical term for this. The circumference of any particular circle actually contains, in theory, 6 circumferences that go around it. And that's the completion. That's like a whole unit, a full unit. There's actually a term for this, a mathematical term. But then there's the larger circumference. And the larger circumference would be drawn around all seven of the coins, all seven of the circles. So you have a diameter, and then that diameter contains within it six diameters around it, and then there would be the large diameter, the diameter that kind of wraps it all together. And that's what we call in Hebrew, Shemir HaHekef. That's what brings it all together. That's why it was the eighth day of the inauguration. Well, it wasn't really the eighth day of inauguration because the inauguration was technically 7 days. However, the 7 days necessarily produce an eighth-day wondrous energy. That's loftier, it's higher, because you know, even though the central diameter, which represents Shabbos, by the way, and then we have the six diameters around it, which fit perfectly, even though they're all the same size, there's the eighth diameter, or the larger, overwhelming diameter, comprehensive diameter, it's of a different nature. It's part of the same circumference. It's another circumference that takes within it all the circumferences, but it's a different size. The other seven are the same size. They're all the perfect circumference, perfect diameters. So this kind of keeps it all together. And that's when the presence of God was actualized. That's when. Just like every week has 7 days. These are the 7 days of what's called the development, the building, the creation of reality as we know it. But the eighth day, we find something similar. Not only is this in the 6 days and then the concluding Shabbos, but specifically when we talk about the number seven, and we talk about completion, and we talk about units, we find also in Sfira Sa'imer, this Sfira Yi Shal Shiva Shavuais. How much do you count? You count 7 weeks. Zayin Pa'amim Zayin. You count 7 times 7. V'achakach Bo Hayoyim HaChamishim. Then comes the 50th day. What does the 50th day represent? That represents not a day that fits into the seven, but rather Chag HaShavuos, Shu Shemir as a heck of a lumayla mimenu. This incorporates the entirety of the 7 weeks. The whole trajectory from Pesach all the way to Shavuos comes to fruition when we reach that 50th day. And not only does it work for days, not only does it work, so days is the days of the week, and the days of the week continue all year long. Not only does it work for years, and that's during a special time from Pesach to Shavuos, but v'cheinu gam b'shanim, it also works like that in years. The chol shmita, every cycle of agriculture in the Holy Land is 7 years, so zayin shanim. Ulamayla mehem mizeh huma sha'achre shivas sheva shabbosis sheva shanim sheva pa'amim, after counting 7 years, 7 units, 7 times, boshnas ha'yevol, the Jubilee comes. And the Jubilee represents a transformation of the cycle of life in the Holy Land of Israel. All of a sudden, there's a hard reset. The whole land comes back into a previous iteration. Land restores, is restored. Indentured labor collapses and comes to an end. It's instead of waiting for the economy to collapse, which it often will do, because it gets out of control, and at a certain point, there's supposed to be checks and balances, and the checks and balances get weakened, and therefore it's reined in less and less and less and less, and eventually you have chaos. Things collapse and right themselves. So instead of allowing this to randomness, instead of allowing this to stuff happening and then people get hurt, the Torah actually has an amazing system where we press the hard reset button every 50 years, and automatically everything goes back to the way it was, which... That's not why we do it. We do it because Hashem said to do it, but this is like a little fringe benefit. So this, as we see in time, when it comes to time, we see we have this notion of seven, and then we reach a leap beyond. And seven and a leap beyond. And the leap beyond represents, that's the idea of eight. Now, the Rebbe says, V'cheinu, not only is this true in time, which time is a very important part of our Judaism, we all know that God sanctified time for us, or gave us the power to sanctify time. That was the first mitzvah he gave us. And that's why we recite Kiddush, or we recite the Shmon Esrei and Yom Tov, we say, Mekadesh Yisrael Ve'azmanim. Hashem sanctifies Israel, and they in turn sanctify time. Whereas tonight for Shabbos, we'll say, Mekadesh HaShabbos, God sanctifies Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So this notion of God sanctifying time, which is Shabbos, and then the idea of the Shemitah, which we need to sanctify, or the counting of the Omer, which we individually need to count, all this represents the concept of time being sanctified both from heaven and from us. But al derech zehu ba'avedas adam b'chlal. This represents more than time, even though time is a paradigm, and sanctifying time is a paradigm for what our mission, job, and purpose here is in this world. The truth is that there's a direct instruction or direct inspiration or guidance with regard to avedas Hashem, to the service, the lives of service we're supposed to spend in general. The chlalas avedas adam hu b'shivas hamidah shalei. Generally speaking, what should a person try to do during the course of his life? The answer is a person should try to be a mensch. So we're saying you should be a mensch. See, in the Western world, you say, I'm only human. What do you want from me? I'm only human. But in the Torah tradition, we say, what do you mean you're only human? Be a mensch. Be a human. So in the Western world, it takes being a human to be being an animal, because they look at everything is classified simply in a scientific system that does not recognize the supremacy of human life over animal life necessarily. It's called the Homo sapien, the smart animals. We're just smarter than everybody else, so we can dominate everybody else or abuse everybody else. But from a Torah perspective, that's not true. Hashem created all of the different species, and not in a random fashion, heaven forfend, chas v'shalom. And the human is the king of creation. And the human was given the responsibility to make a difference, to harness and channel the raw energy and the chaos of this world. And where does it begin? It begins within the human being himself. So don't say, well, I fly off the handle. Well, I'm just human. I have anger. I'm lazy. I couldn't get it. I'm just human. No, be a mensch. What should you do to be a mensch? You should fix your midas. You should elevate your midas. You should upgrade and transform your midas. So that's what's expected of a person. This then means that a person's avodas Hashem, he's called to change things in the range or gamut of seven, because we have seven midas. So if we're supposed to become a mensch, if we're supposed to become a refined person, a person shouldn't just refine one midah or the other, which means that his chesed is in place, his kindness is appropriate. How about your discipline? Oh, my discipline's out of control. Either I have none of it or I have too much of it. Well, fix that too. Calibrate the discipline. And how about the teferis, et cetera, et cetera? Am I too competitive? Am I not competitive enough? Am I focused or devoted enough? How's my netzach? How's my hoid? Okay, I have to work on all these things. So the Aveda Hashem has to be in these seven midas, Birur HaMidas. Ulamaylum is the Aveda of Hashem Meres HaSamidas Ulamaylum Mehem. And that's the Aveda of Tainuk. So what represents the diameter that includes all diameters? What represents the Shemir HaHekeh for the number 8? If the idea of the 7 represents like 7 days of the week and like 7 years of the Shemitah, or like 7 weeks of the Sefirah. So what is the idea of here? What's the 50th? This is the idea of Tainuk. What gives me pleasure? What gives? What motivates me? What's my ultimate motivator? Pleasure is the ultimate motivator. The person will go to work. The person will earn money. The person will slave away. Will work hard. What does he want? He wants to reach something, a state of euphoria, a state of serenity, a state of inner pleasure, a state of Tainuk. So the question is, what is your tainug? What's your pleasure? Is your pleasure to drive the fastest car in the block? Is your pleasure that you have the biggest television screen? You have the fanciest barbecue? What's your pleasure? Or is your pleasure that you learn the Maimer of Chassidus and you delight in it? That's your pleasure. So this is the question. And a person, of course, has to work on elevating his pleasure. What's the pleasure of a little child? Pleasure of a little child is having fun. He has the best toy. He has the sweetest candy. Hopefully, that person grows up and he's not a baby, a child anymore, and he has tainug from real things. A person learns to develop a tainug and appreciation in doing another yid a favor. And you have tainug. You actually have pleasure when you did a yid a favor. Wow, that is amazing. And so on and so forth. So the tainug is peil harchova v'agdola v'hispashtos amidus. When a person has the appropriate tainug, when a person is the appropriate with pleasure for the right things, it changes everything. It changes my chesed, my gvuda, my teferes, my netzach, my hoid, yisoid, and even my malchus. Everything changes when that's the ultimate motivator. V'zeo, my friends. And that is in Yom HaShemini. That is Yom HaShemini based on the teachings of the Kli Yakar, which is based on the responsa of the Rashba, as is explained by the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe Rashab, now filtered through in synoptic fashion by the Rebbe for you. That Shmini is Miloshan Shuman. This is the meaning that Shmini comes from the same term as Shuman. Shuman is the fat of the meat, which is kosher. So fat represents pleasure. And actually, when a person has pleasure, by dint of our tradition, it increases the fat density. Fat density is increased, and we have a famous tradition that Nachum of Chernobyl was extremely portly. And they said Nachum of Chernobyl never used to eat. How did he get so portly? And they said he had so much tainug, he had so much pleasure from Amin Yehesh Meir Abba, that it actually made him physically corpulent. don't try this. Don't expect it to happen with you. We get physically corpulent because we push and eat too much. But the Menachem Chernobyl, he was motivated by different things. You know, Menachem of Chernobyl, somebody once lit a candle on Shabbos and he comes to the room and he's like walking around like he's blind. He said, "What's your problem?" He says, "I don't see any light." Because it was lit on Shabbos. He couldn't see the candle lit on Shabbos. Menachem Chernobyl was so refined, he couldn't see that. And then this idea of milk that was milked for Ein Yisrael Re'eyu. It wasn't supervised by a Yisrael. But he said, "In Yisrael, eh, we couldn't see it." I put a bowl in front of him. He said, "What's in the bowl?" "There's nothing in the bowl." He didn't see the milk. He couldn't see it. So the Nachum Chernobyl could actually get fat, physically corpulent, from the pleasure he got. That's what Tainug does. Kemeshikosov kol chaylev lahavaya. Why say kol chaylev? Give all the chaylev. The shuman is the permitted fats. The chaylev is the fat that we burn in the mizbeach. And it says all the chaylev goes to havaya. So why would you put that? Because that, it's more than just a part of the animal gets burned in the mizbeach. It represents the finest, the best, the choicest, the richest. That's what goes to God. And so it is in our life. The best time of our day, the early morning, what should we be doing? Not working out, not surfing the net. We should be here learning Torah and davening like a Yid. That's what a Yid does with his best time of his day, and so on and so forth. As the Rambam famously says, it refers to the best, the finest, the nicest, the richest of everything. What catalyzes pleasure. Nobody thinks of a pleasurable experience, a pleasurable piece of steak. It's not a dried out, emaciated piece of steak that looks like rubber. But if it's moist, if it's succulent, if it's fat, these are words that are associated with pleasure. This is the idea of the seventh day of eighth day of inauguration. After 7 days of exhausting all the possibilities, then comes the eighth wonder. What's the eighth wonder? Eighth day, the eighth wonder. That's the Gilui Mamayla, that's the Gilui Ashkina. Incidentally, it's interesting to point out that Torah talks about this eighth day in this fashion. And what's the sign of infinity in mathematics? The number eight. Just like an interesting curio. Because the idea of the number eight is because it's continuous, right? It keeps going. But in theory, why can't you just have a circle? A circle also keeps going. For some reason, they chose number eight. But the number eight is the circle from a Torah perspective. From the very fact that this eight follows seven, and in eight is inaugurated, the eighth wonder is brought about through the seven, exhausting the seven of possibilities. Moving, it's understood. The eighth has to already be in the seven. Because if the seven can bring to the eight, if seven can catalyze eight, then eight already must be there in latent potential form. Like the Rebbe Rashab explains in the Maimer referenced earlier from 1918, Shabbos is not only the seventh day, it's not only the seventh day of Shiva Shimei Hekef, and I refer you back to the metaphor of the diameters of the circumferences. Zman, time, is the accordion of time, is opened up, fully unfurled, is seven. But on Shabbos, there's something which is beyond time. That's why every Sunday we start counting time over again. Yom Sheni, Yom Shleishi, first day, second day, third day, and then Shabbos comes, we don't say, oh, now it's the eighth day. Next Sunday's eighth day. No, next day is the first day again. How did you get from 7 to 1? 7 should go to 8. How'd 7 get to 1? What's the answer? Because when you got to 7, you went into a next level. In the next level, you start all over again. There's a paradigm shift. Every week there's a paradigm shift. Every Shabbos is so holy, so incredible, so remarkable, that it puts us into a different headspace. Because there's an element of Shabbos that is more than just 7. It's a leap beyond. So much so that the day after can only be called one over again because you're in a different place. We say the very words that were sung before Hashem as an act of homage and praise by Adam Rishon, and say everything is given to God, all of creation goes to God, referencing and referring to the first day of creation, which that was Bria Salem. Like explains in Maseches Rosh Hashanah at the end of Maseches Tamid in the Mishnah about the Shir, the song that the Levites would sing in the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Rebbe, the Inyan Shabbos Shabbos. This idea that on Shabbos there's a Bechina, there's a dimension, which is Lamay Lamazman, which is beyond time as we know it, this means there's a leap beyond the frame, the limitation of seven. You're going beyond diameters and circumference. That Shabbos has a gift. There's an element of a gift. Shabbos is a gift. A gift is something which is not earned. When you work hard, you earn. So whatever it is you do, you charge per hour, you earn. Person says, like, I gave you a gift, I paid the bill. So you crazy? You didn't pay the bill. It's not a gift, you paid the bill. You're supposed to pay the bill. Yeah, but you charge $100, $500 an hour. Well, I'm a high-powered lawyer, that's what I charge. You don't want to like me? Go to some other lawyer. So the idea of matana is not that you give a gift, you say you're paying for the amount of hours that a person put in. The idea of a gift is something which is beyond that. The whole notion of a gift is like the number 8. As explained, the Maimer Shabbos is Gimel Madreges. Listen to this. Ha'alef, the first one is called Maile Shabbata. Maile Shabbata is the Friday evening. How is Friday evening characterized? It's what I'm not doing. I separate. I stopped working. And really supposed to stop working earlier and get ready for Shabbos. It's all about stoppage of work. It's all about cessation. It's all about things grinding to a halt and getting ready for something bigger and better. Which just still has a shaychus to work. Habez, the second level of Shabbos, says you wake up in the morning. You already had a peaceful night. You had a beautiful Suda Shabbos. You sat with family and friends. You ate well. You said L'chaim. You share words of Torah. You went to sleep in a different place, a different headspace, a different mind space. And you woke up refreshed. It was Shabbos and you woke up. You got more than 4 or 5 hours of sleep maybe. You feel like a human being. It's Shabbos. And then what happens? And then from Shabbos, the day goes on. And you learn Chassidus. You daven like a mensch. And you're lucky and there's a nice Kiddush. And even luckier, there's a good Fabrengen. And then the day wears on, the day moves on, and then you come to Mincha. And Mincha is Menucha Be'etzem. This is the idea of, Menucha Be'etzem is Shabbos itself. You're delighting in rest and serenity. And then we come to the Bechina of Raivin the Raivin, which is the Zoharic expression for the climax of Shabbos. Shalzeh Amur Azal, but this, our sages said specifically about this, Matona Toiva Yeshli, I have a beautiful gift, Bebez Genozai, in my treasure houses. Shabbos Shema. Her name is Shabbos. And that's going to be given to the Jewish people. Shezeo winya nimsa beis genozai. What's beis genozai? My treasure, my storehouse in Hebrew. It comes to the word geniza. It's hidden. It's not seen. It's not even known or appreciated. It's beyond circumference of diameter. It's beyond limitation. Even rhyme and reason. I got an interesting comment on one of my classes recently. I talked about Shabbos being a gift to the Jewish people. And a woman commented that I'm not Jewish and I love Shabbos. And Shabbos and all peoples could benefit from Shabbos. And why do you say, how dare you say it's only a gift for the Jewish people? So really, I didn't have time to respond, but the truth is, the Torah says that. I'm not saying it. But she raised a good point, though. Anybody can rest. You're right. Anybody can rest. Anybody can stop working. But only a Yid can experience Raivin the Raivin. In order to get the matana of Shabbos, very interesting here, the emphasis, the element of matana is not the stoppage of work. It's not even waking up refreshed. The element of matana of Shabbos is how a Yid moves into a higher spiritual consciousness, and that represents the idea of Raivin de Raivin. And therefore, what the Rebbe is saying to us is that the seven has to have within it somehow the number 8 already. The Shemer HaHekef has to be there. And he proves to us that Shabbos already has that Shemer HaHekef. It has already the 8th wonder. It has the infinitude. It has the energy that's beyond already encoded into it as the 7th day. And unfortunately, we're out of time. Good Shabbos to all of our watchers and listeners around the world. Good Shabbos to you all. Thank you for joining us. And with Eberstein should help us, we should merit the real Shemar HaHekef, the number 8, which is what's going to be talked about in the Maimer as the Maimer goes forward. That concept of Namdei represents the idea of Mashiach. May it be speedily and in our days. Amen.